This morning, we're going to talk about seeking God's will. And this is a topic that I personally struggle for many, many years. Sometimes when I look back in my life, for some reason, I'm surprised to see that there is a period of time in my life that I just couldn't see God's will at all. And I'm very surprised when, you know, later on when I look back, I wonder why I was unable to see God's will at all in that period of in my life. And so I spent a lot of time and looking to question myself, what does God want me to do in my life? As we all of us may recall, when we were small, you know, we were told when we receive the Holy Spirit, that is a guarantee to enter the heavenly life. And we are all very excited. We took it very seriously. When we attended SSC, we would, you know, fast our lunch meal, our dinner meal, go to the chapel to pray for the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, if you look back, our relationship with God kind of stopped when we receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the water baptism, we go, okay, now I have the guarantee to enter heaven. I have received water baptism. Everything's fine. Then our life begins to fall off the track. So it is true that Holy Spirit is the guarantee to enter heaven. But think about this. You have the ticket in your hand. If you never reach the destination, how can you ever use that ticket? Does that make sense to you? Yes, just like you have a ticket to watch a movie. But guess what? You just did not ever arrive at the right theater. So yeah, you have a ticket, but you never reach there. And this is, I think this is what's happening to many of us today, that we are so satisfied with what we have, because it seems that many other denominations does not have the blessing of receiving Holy Spirit. And we are one of the very, very few denominations that has Holy Spirit in our church, and we are so satisfied and content with what our blessing, you know. But guess what? It's very important. It's very important to look at our life. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, then what should we do? A lot of you might go, what should we do? Yeah, once you receive the Holy Spirit, what should we do thereafter? That's very important. Actually, the walk, the journey of faith begin at the point when you receive Holy Spirit. It did not end at that point. Now, once we start that journey, you begin to wonder, which way should I take? Which direction? What should I do with my life? Many of us are confused. One of the important reasons is that we don't know how to do God's will. We don't know which direction to God wants us to turn in our life. So this morning we're going to talk about what is God's will and how can we practice that in our daily lives. And in my second section in the future, we're going to look at some difficult cases, difficult people in difficult situations. How were these people able to see God's will in those difficult situations? Now, first question is going to be, what is God's will? Since it's very simple, think about this. Since it's called God's will, so it's not your will, since it's called God's will. Many times, as a Christian, we constantly think that since we are a Christian, what we did, it's my will is God's will. But the order is wrong. We seem to look at our situation, our comfort first, then you go, okay, since what am I doing is not a crime, you know, everything is right, so my will is God's will. But no, the order is just the opposite. You need to look at God from God's perspective first, and then look at your situation, go, well, if this is God's will not only is not our will, oftentimes, many times, it conflicts with our will. It conflicts. think about it. Now, I think one of the most difficult point about doing God's will is that to see God's will. A person cannot do God's will if you cannot even see God's will. If you could see God's will, that would motivate you and that would remind you that, okay, yeah, my way is a little bit different than what God wants me to do, and I think I will make some adjustment to match. But the problem is, many times we cannot even see it. When we cannot see it, we are in trouble. So we're going to spend a lot of time. We're going to talk about how can a person see God's will from my own mistake, you know, I would like to share with you. I think many times I cannot see God's will because I refuse to step aside. And you're going to, huh? What do you mean? Okay. Many times I cannot see God's will because I always want to be the master of my life. If a person always want to be a master of his life, he cannot see God's will. And that is very, very important. When the moment you accept God to be the master of your life, we need to practice to begin to see things from God's perspective. And that is a very, very difficult adjustment. It's a very difficult adjustment that when we consider, think about in our life, you know, we go through many decisions every day. When we make that decision, oftentimes we will look at our situation. When we evaluate every decision that we make, it's always from our, first from our personal perspective, from our family perspective. But guess what? If you accepted God to be the master, you need to change that order. Ask yourself, what God want me to do in this situation first, and then compare with what you want to do. I practiced that many times myself. Before, I would jump into decision, you know, when I made decision, I quickly evaluate how much is the cost of things, you know, how would that affect my family, then I quickly make decision. And when I reverse the decision-making process, many times I found myself making a totally different decision, a totally different decision. And that kind of reminding me that no wonder I couldn't see God's will sometime in the past, because I always want to be the master of my life. Let's look at Book of James. Chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. James said, "Today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while, and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." This is what James encourages, and that exactly pinpoint that in as a Christian, if you accept God as the master of your life, you should constantly do that. When you plan your life, ask yourself, where is God when you plan your life? If you plan your life without God, it's going to be very difficult to follow God in your life and reach that destination at the end of it. So that's a very important point. Secondly, when I look back in my life, many times I failed to see God's will because I was blinded with my own weaknesses and my desire. And that is so true. When a person has many weaknesses, for example, let's say if a person is had a very hot temper, every time when something happens, your temper shoots up, you know, your mind lose control. In that case, you could never see God's will in that conflict. In every conflict, if a person had problem controlling his temper, that means in every conflict, that person gonna have difficult time see God's will in conflicts. In conflicts, so a person's weaknesses could stand between you and God. It's not that you couldn't see it, but because whenever a situation arises, your weaknesses and your desire just stand between your will and God's will, and that blinded you from making a right decision according to God's will. We all have weaknesses. We all have many weaknesses. You know, some we would call a major problem that we would, it's very easy to identify, and we will cure it. But most often, many times, the weaknesses are small. They don't bother you. You know, they just live with you all your life. And since it's a small problem, small weaknesses, you don't bother to cure it because you look around, go, but guess what? Everybody have this problem, you know, so and they all survive. I don't need to cure it. Let me give you an analogy. Just we all drive in Southern California. We drive with our car. If you have a major brake problem, you will quickly bring it to the auto shop and fix it, right? But if you have a broken, you know, windshield wiper, you know, you probably would not fix it right away because it rarely rains in Southern California. You go, oh, that's a minor problem. It's okay, I'll survive. But guess what? You never know when in your life that broken windshield wiper is going to kill you in a big storm in your life. When you are driving on the freeway, you will hit by a big storm and that windshield wiper may kill you. The weaknesses that you never bother to fix, it's small, it's insignificant. But you never know. Whenever you're going to encounter a storm in your life, and just because of that weakness, it's going to kill you. It's going to become a fatal weakness. Same thing. So we need to constantly look at our weaknesses and cure each one of the weaknesses. When I look back, another reason I cannot see God's will is because I'm very busy. My life is so busy. My life spins, you know, from the children's schedule, my work schedule, my house chores, you know, my friends, my children's friends. You know, my life is on the go all the time. When your life, this is a typical Southern California lifestyle. Very rarely I heard anyone say, oh, I'm so bored. I don't know what to do. You know, I have so much time in my hand. I just don't know what to do. I heard everyone complaining, oh, I don't have time to sleep. Oh, I don't know if I could live through this week. You know, this week's schedule is so headache. I don't know if I could pull through my schedule this week. We live from one week to one week, just like people live from a paycheck to paycheck, you know. Our time is so tight. But do you know something? You might think about, hey, this is my schedule. I need to survive in this society, you know, if, you know. But do you know something? When it comes to following God, if you continue to carry a schedule, a lifestyle like this, you could never follow God. You could never. Because all your times and energy are taken away. Sometimes you're going to say, well, I don't spend all my time on working and for my personal pleasure. Many times, you know, I spend a lot of time serving God as well. But again, when it comes to follow God, you need this quietness in your heart. This quietness in your heart is going to help you to see God's will and His truth. This quietness is important. Sometimes a person may not be busy, but some personal things, you know, bother you, family problem bother you. You just cannot have this quietness before God. And that is going to be a big problem. It's going to be a big problem. Let's look at a very interesting verse. I like this verse very much. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul wrote this to the believer in Thessalonians, said, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Make it your ambition. I have never, this timeless truth stay for people who have problem living a quiet life 2,000 years ago. We still have the same problem now. This timeless truth never change. I have only heard about people saying that make it your ambition to be a doctor, to be a lawyer. I have never heard about people say that to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. I love this verse very much because it took me a lot of determination. It does require a lot of determination. And to make it my ambition to change my life, I have many things going on, you know. But in order to follow God, I need to change. I need to look at my schedule. I need to adjust my schedule. If my schedule is too full, something's just going to go. If you don't cut off anything on your schedule, eventually God is going to go. Because you simply cannot fit God into your schedule. You just cannot fit God in your schedule. So I know we all have a very busy life. But today, make a note, a mental note in your head. Make it your ambition to lead a very simple life. To lead a simple life. And that is very, very critical for a person to see God's will. Let's look at Mary's, Jesus' mother's life story. There are two times in the Bible. Very rarely Bible record what went through in Mary's mind, you know. But there are two times recorded in chapter Luke. Let's turn to Luke, chapter 2. Verse 19. This was a time when many things changed, happened to Mary's life. She was told that she will have, you know, a baby and a Jesus. She was not certain how things going to happen in her life. She was confused. Many things happened in her life. But in this particular verse, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's another recording about Mary later on in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, when Jesus was 12 years old. Luke chapter 51. And when she brought Jesus to the temple, she almost lost him. And she was very confused. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. We can also all learn from this verses that in our lives, many things happen. You know, many things happen. If we just let it go, your life is going to be a life, a very eventful life that's filled with excitement, happiness, you know, sometimes question marks. But for everything that happened, if you think about it from God's perspective, you will begin to see the trace of His hand. Your life will be a life that is filled with graces, God's grace and guidance. You could see God in your life. If you spend time to ponder over things that happen in your life, then you will begin to see God in your life. And you will begin to see what went wrong and what adjustment you need to make for every event that happened in your life. And that's important. Every event that happened in your life, you keep it in your heart, think about it, then that's when you begin to see God in your life. Many times, I cannot see God's life because I don't bother to see His will. That could be a problem because the devotion is not there. You know, I was not devoted to God, you know. I think it's not important. We must have a devotion to follow God, it all starts with a devotion, a commitment. You need to commit yourself, and that will motivate you to see God's will. God's will does not just pop up, you know, or God would appear to you and speak to you. When it comes to God's will, there's a very interesting verb that is used in connection with God's will. It's called seeking. Seek. When you seek something, it's you don't expect to find things, you know, on the wide open field, it's there. When you seek God's will, it takes time. It takes time for you to look for it. It takes a lot of devotion. Many things happen in your life. It takes a lot of time and devotion for you to go through every, to sort through every event that happened in your life and to see whether adjustment need to make to in order to live according to God's will. So seeking is a very, very important action verb that you need to take action and seek. There's one example. In the Old Testament, there is a man who is called a man who is after God's heart, because he is seeking God's will all the time. And you could see his effort of seeking God's will in Psalms, you know, in many, many verses in Psalms. One of the verse is, let's turn to Psalm 119. Here David said, I seek you with all my heart. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. You can see David, he does make mistake. He made many mistakes in his life. But in the end, God still calls him a man after his heart. Why? It's just like no one is perfect. We all make mistakes in our life. But David, God is the God who look into your heart. He could see the effort that David is seeking his will all the time with all his heart. God could see David's effort when he looked into David's heart, although he made mistake. But that effort, that continuous effort is very, very precious in God's sight. The continuous effort every day, all the time. Whether in comfortable time, in difficult time, David always seek God's will. And that is very precious. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Sometimes we don't understand God's instruction. But for a person who comes to God with his devotion, we are not smart. We are not wise. But if God could see the devotion inside of you, that you come to Him, you ask God to guide you, to show you the wisdom to follow God, He will. He will show you. It's not because you need to be very wise, need to be smart. No. You just need to come to God with your full devotion. Then you will find it. Let's turn to a very important verse in Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13. This is what the Lord said. God said, it's guaranteed. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's a guarantee. You will seek me and find me. I will be found. When? How? When you seek me with all your heart. Again, you don't need to be intelligent. You don't need to be very smart. But God said there is one criteria that when you seek me, I will be found. That is when you seek me with all your heart. It is your devotion that counts. It is the devotion inside of your heart counts. It is a guarantee. Sometimes I couldn't see God's will because lacking of knowledge of God's instruction, that happened to me. You are confused, you know. When I encounter certain circumstances, the circumstances might not be confusing, but I am confused because I don't have the full knowledge of the truth, and that is my handicap. And I think it's very important for a person who wants to travel the journey of faith, who is determined to reach the destination. If you don't understand the whole truth, you only understand about 60%. You're going to be confused all the time. Many times, not because the situation is confused, because you yourself lack of the knowledge of truth, you know. And that's my case, you know. So when I look back, I go, oh. When I look at back my life, sometimes, especially when I was in college years, you know, I would go, oh, I don't know why I would make those kind of decisions, because I did not have the complete understanding of the whole truth. And that is very important. If you don't know the instruction, then you will be confused all the time. Not because the situation is tricky. So one thing that is, the truth is contained in the Bible. And that's why it's very important to read Bible. If a Christian cannot even read Bible every day, you know, it's pointless to mention all others, you know, because all God's instruction. If you cannot even come up with a small, tiny devotion, you know, just to read Bible every day and pray every day, not mentioning about sacrifice your life for God, not mentioning about do all other stuff, you cannot even come up with a small, tiny devotion to prompt yourself to open a Bible, to follow, to read it, you know, every day. So for everyone, each one of us, it's very important. If you wonder, when you look, let's take some moment to look at your life. Think about your life. Look at your life. If your life is filled with difficulties, you know, hardship, confusion. Sometimes you wonder why all these hardships happen to you. You struggle with your life, you know. It's about time to make change. All you need to do is, step number one, come up with a small devotion first to read Bible. But this is a fundamental. Whether you attend services, you know, 3 times a week, you know, it doesn't matter. Your walk with God is personal. You must come to God's presence every day and read Bible and pray. And your life will change. God will begin to guide your life. God will enable through His Word. God will enable to see what you did wrong. What you did wrong. And your life will begin to change. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. This is very fundamental. Chapter 5, verse 22. If you are confused, you know, you go, I really don't know much about Bible for now. How am I going to survive since, you know, I don't have the full knowledge of truth? Keep this in your mind. The Spirit, the fruit of Holy Spirit. Keep this one in your mind. The fruit of Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. When you do this, it is always, it's guaranteed, it's always God's will for you to do this. Do not doubt this. In every situation, you go, I don't have the 100% truth in my head yet, and I cannot catch up that 100% in such a short time. This is your quick note. This will save you
will help you through for now, that it is always God's will for you to do this. Okay? So if you are ever confused, remind yourself to look at the fruit of Holy Spirit. And one time when I was looking at the fruit of Holy Spirit, I was very surprised to see that the fruit of Holy Spirit is a singular fruit, you know, it's one fruit. When I was small, my RE teacher drew a big apple tree, you know, on the board. Then she began to draw apples, you know. Then she labeled them the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the first fruit is love, joy, peace, blah, 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 you know, a tree full of fruits. In my mind, I always thought, as long as I have some fruits, I'm not far off. I might not have the fruits of faithfulness, but I do have the fruit of peace and patience. I'm kind of patient. But one day when I reread this verses, I noticed this fruit is one single fruit. It's not many, many fruits. When this fruit can only be called a fruit if all the qualities are there. That, yes, you already have love and joy, but if you don't have peace and patience, this fruit is going to be out of shape. It's not a fruit. So when I think about this, you know, I become very anxious because then I misunderstood, you know. So we all need to achieve all the quality here to have a fruit of Holy Spirit. So this would help you. Now the last point is, many times I cannot see God's will because I don't practice every day. Once in a while in a spiritual convocation, I'll be moved. I'll go, oh, I really need to see God's will. But that's not good enough. To see God's will, it's a continuous effort. It's something that happens. It's like three meals a day. It needs to happen every day. Think about this. If you cannot see God's will in your everyday life, how can you follow God, you know, as a whole, you know, in your lifespan? Let's say if you live up to 60 years, you don't see God's life will every day, how it would accumulate, you know, when you look at your life, you really cannot follow God. I think that there's a perfect example in the Bible. Let's look at Daniel's life. We don't have time to look at the verses. It's recorded in Book of Daniel, chapter 1. At that time, Daniel actually lived in a very, very tragic time in the Jewish history. When Daniel was born, you know, he was born in a very tragic period of the time that Jerusalem was besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar, and many people were captivated and brought to Babylon. Among many people, he was one of them. If I was Daniel living in that time, you know, I probably could not see any hope in my life. Because this is something that happened to the entire nation, to everyone in the entire country. That he does not have any hope in his life. But something very interesting happened to him. He was selected. If you look at Daniel chapter 1, that Nebuchadnezzar specifically informed his officer to choose among the Israelites young people to enter the court. And only a few people will be chosen, and Daniel was one of them that was chosen. Think about Daniel. He was chosen. His life situation was totally changed compared to his peers who their life is so miserable. Most of them will be slaves, you know. But he was chosen. He was in a palace. But according to the Book of Daniel, when it comes to his everyday life, something happened. When they were served the royal food from the king's table, that's considered a blessing, right? because food is very precious in their time, food and clothing, you know. When he was served the royal food from the king's table, everyone was happy. Everyone was happy. But Daniel sees something that is not right. And he, of course, we are familiar with the story. He refuses to take the royal food. But I sometimes think that how was he able to see that in a comfortable situation? In such comfortable situation, how was he able to see that it's not God's will to take royal food? He did not choose to take royal food. He was served, you know. He did not have a choice. And Nebuchadnezzar is a very, very brutal king. According to many history documents, Nebuchadnezzar is very brutal, totally unpredictable. So how is Daniel able to see it? So when I look at my life today, you know, we all live in a very comfortable life. But if we don't follow God every day, we won't be able to see things that we are not supposed to do. We will just follow everyone else's lifestyle. But many times that lifestyle is very dangerous. Especially, you know, some young, well, no, I cannot say that. I think everyone, whether young or middle aged, they have their unique challenges, you know. It's very dangerous. So if you don't follow God every day, you will be easily off track and you will not be even aware of it. That's the danger of it. So that every day is very important. All our faith will be tested, you know, according to the Bible. It is very precious if our faith could reach a pure gold. That is a 24-karat gold. It has to be 24-karat gold. Sometimes I could see that many of us, we have reached 10-karat gold and 14-karat gold. When your face becomes 14-karat gold, you could begin to see the beauty and the splendor of the gold. The quality of your spirituality sometimes will shine, and people could see it, you know. You will be very proud. But do you know something? It's not enough. It has to be 24. It needs to be 24. So we all need to try our best to achieve that 24-karat gold when it comes to our faith. And in order to do that, we need to know God's will. When I come back the next time, we will look at some interesting cases in the Bible. And we will study, and hopefully that through our study, we could learn from their situation, how these people were able to see God's will in such confusing, difficult situation. How were they able to do that? We don't have time to look at the characters today, but when we come back next time, we will look at many, many characters.